You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Again, we are grateful to Pastor Twyman for this opportunity in particular, and certainly we thank him for 41 years of service. He has truly touched all of our lives and been a blessing to us. Amen. And so we are just grateful at this time. We're going to call your attention this morning to a very familiar passage of scripture. The Lord has placed this on my heart, and he wouldn't leave me alone, so this is the message that the Lord has given to us for this day. We're going to be coming from the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20, and also for your reading, verse 22. The book of Revelation, chapter 3, beginning at verse 20. Reading there from the King James Version, you will find these words: "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and will sup with him, and he with me." And then skip down to the 22nd verse. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open up the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. Our subject this morning is "It's me." Yep, it's me. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He doesn't identify himself. He just says, "Behold, I stand." I want to tell you this morning, he says to the church, "It's me." And I don't want to age myself, but I grew up in a time when, in an age when you didn't have to put locks on the doors. You could leave whatever it was, your property, outside and didn't have to worry about anybody messing with it. Didn't need any door ring or anything to check out everybody that was coming up to your door while you were away at home. But we're living in a time where you got to be careful who you open the door for. Everybody doesn't mean you good. Everybody doesn't mean the best for you in your life. And back in the day, we didn't worry too much about who knocked on our door because we knew everybody in the neighborhood. We knew who was good And we knew who, when you saw him coming your way, put the bolt on the door. And sometimes we didn't even have a bolt to put on the door. We didn't worry about locking the door. We just put a nail up there that had a little eye hole that you put the nail in, and that was sufficient to make sure that the house was kept. We didn't worry about it, you know, because God was taking care of us. Everybody in the neighborhood knew each other. We were all one big family. But I tell you today, you better be careful before you open up that door to just anybody. And even if you got one of those Ring doorbells, you better make sure nobody's hiding out of view where you can't see them, because sometimes they'll use other folk just to get inside.
My Lord, come on, sir.
I remember coming up, the Jehovah Witnesses used to come through the neighborhood all the time, and we never would open up the door for them. So most of the time, they would just walk right on by our house. But when my grandmother got old and wasn't herself anymore, she became a Jehovah Witness. And on Saturdays, she started coming around, and she would knock on the door, and all we would see was her face. And of course, we would open up the door, and as soon as we opened up the door, the rest of them would swoop up and want to come in.
My Lord.
We loved our grandmama something dearly, but that wasn't right. And so you ought to, you know, my point is you need to know who it is that's knocking at your door. It's me, but because these are dangerous times. Paul, in speaking to Timothy, warned him of the times that were ahead. And he says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the first five verses, I'm going to share this with you from the New Living Testament. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. We've been warned, he told us, and as you read this text, you ought to note that he speaks more of the character of people than of the times. He doesn't really talk about the times, he talks about the character of people. So it is here in Revelations in our text this morning. If I may, just want to read some of the context to our main text this morning. John writes, and unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest now thou not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold that gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich and white, and I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame and of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see as many as I love. I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore and repent. Again, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. It's me. Now, it's important again that we take note of our context. That 22nd verse says that we are he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, when we think about hearing and reading the scriptures, the church at Laodicea didn't have it like we have it. They were never encouraged to bring their own Bible. In fact, when they gathered together, there was usually only one scroll in the whole assembly. The preacher would read from the scroll or from the scriptures, and he encouraged everybody to listen obediently and to obey what they heard. They had to commit to memory what the preacher was saying. They had to ponder in their heart and consider all that God was saying to them. And so that's why Paul says, be not just a hearer only, but be a doer. The evidence that you heard or understood what the Word of God says is a change in behavior. A change in action, the way you live, the way you carry yourself, the way you conduct yourself. And so all of the seven churches were encouraged, if you have an ear, you ought to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. And here in our text today, the Lord says, behold, I'm standing at the door knocking. I'm standing there, knocking at the door. And the door he's speaking of is the door of our hearts. Now, contextually, there are some other things that we need to consider. We need to think just for a moment about the city of Laodicea. It was noted and known for being a rich city, a rich commonwealth. It was noted for having a large medical school that produced an eye salve that was commerced all over the world.
Yes, sir.
But it was a proud city. Because they were wealthy, they had so much, and the Bible says that they had need of nothing. That's where they conducted themselves. They went about acting as if there was nothing. They needed nothing. and not even God. They had erected a temple for a goddess in the city of Laodicea, and they worshiped it more than they worshiped God. And Laodicea was rich, and again, it was prideful, and they had much, and the historians say that in AD 60, there was an earthquake that almost totally destroyed the city. But they were so rich and so powerful, they refused the help of anybody else and told them, we don't need nothing. We don't need your money. We're self-sufficient. We can take care of this ourselves.
Yes, sir.
We'll do it. But they had one other problem that we need to take note of. They had a bad water supply. They had to conduct a water, an aqueduct, from the city of Hierapolis, which was about 6 miles away, and run that water from Hierapolis all the way down to Laodicea. It came from the hot springs, and by the time it got to Laodicea, it was lukewarm. It was good for nothing. The Lord says that they drank this water every day, and they drank it so much they became just like the water, lukewarm, good for nothing. And so, unfortunately, the church became just like the city. They took on the same characteristics as the people in the city did.
Yes, sir.
They began to look more like the world than the world did. They were unresponsive. Though Laodicea was known for its eyesight, they had lost their sight. They had lost their vision of what God would have them to do. And they were lukewarm. They were useless. They didn't even recognize God when he came. The city was made up of mostly Jews. They had no idea who Jesus was. It was sad. But you know what? I thank God for Jesus. I thank God for the fact that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I thank God that he didn't give up on the city of Laodicea, and he doesn't give up on us. He still desires to have a vital relationship with us, and even after all that Laodicea did in terms of rejecting him and not responding to him and losing their vision of him, he still desired to have that fellowship with them. And so Revelations 3 and 20 is one of the great invitations found in the Bible. I believe it's probably perhaps the greatest invitation that God extends to us in the Bible. And there have been others. In fact, the first words that God ever spoke to man was, Adam, where art thou? He had created man for fellowship, and he desired to have fellowship and communion with him. And Adam had sinned and took off. And God went looking for him. And thus begins his redemptive love. And that continued throughout the ages, throughout the times. And so it really doesn't matter what the time is. We need to focus on the condition of the people. It's sin that drives us away from God. It's sin that messes up this world that we're living in. Makes you look over your shoulder everywhere you go because you don't know who's coming behind you. And so the Lord reaches out. Even to the church at Laodicea. This lukewarm church, this prideful church that didn't need anything, didn't want anybody's help and wouldn't ask for anybody's help and didn't want anybody's help. God says to them, behold, I stand at the door and knock. It's me. It's me. Despite all that you've done, despite all the sin that has occurred in your life, despite your cold heart and your lack of desire to do my will, behold, take a look. I'm standing at the door knocking. So you say, preacher, how do we really know that it's you standing? How do we know? And so the writer of Revelation, John, and the writer of several other books, New Testament books, goes to great lengths to make sure that all of us, everybody, knows who Jesus is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. With him, everything was made, and without him was not anything made that was made. Go down a little further. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld him as the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. We ought to know who he is. It's me. He was coming. He was in the Gospel of John, but he was coming. He was on his way. In the Old Testament, he represented every drop of blood, every drop of blood that was spilled. It all pointed to Jesus, every lamb that was slain. And then John picks it up and he says, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. God had already dealt with the sin question a long time ago. Every lamb in the Old Testament ended up slain. They died, they were innocent, but they died for no reason. And they all pointed to Jesus. And so John says, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. It's me. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. It's me. And then these letters that were written to the seven churches, they were circular letters, which meant that all of the churches read them. All of them had an opportunity to read them. And so even the church at Ephesus would have read this particular letter. The church at Smyrna would have read it. The church at Pergamum, the church at Thyatira, the church at Sardis, the church at Philadelphia, all of these would have read this letter and heard the words, behold, I stand at the door and knock. How do we know that it was Jesus? Again, John had gone to great length to make sure that we wouldn't miss him, that if he came our way, we would recognize him on sight. And so he reminds us in his word that he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. He is the Son of God. He is the faithful and true witness. He is the lion from the tribe of Judah. The Bible says that he is the root of David. Yes. And again, he is the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Yes. Glory to the lamb. Glory to the Lamb of God who, despite all that was done to him, is still standing, knocking, calling, appealing to man to open up the door and let him in. It's mindful that we look at this text and realize that he extends this invitation not to the church at Laodicea, but it's extended to every individual who will hear God's voice. If any individual, not the church, he's not going to save the church, but he's speaking to the hearts and minds of those who have gotten a little cold, who've gotten a little lukewarm, who've forgotten their purpose. And then his word still has enough drawing power to speak to the lost. These are difficult times, but behold, I stand at the door and knock. Knocking is God's preferred method of getting our attention. He's still knocking. Every day of our life when we don't have that vital relationship with him, God is still knocking. He's still standing. The Greek suggests that this is a continuous action. God has positioned himself right outside the door of our heart. He's not going anywhere, and he desires that all men would be saved, that all would come to a knowledge of God and have that vital relationship with him. I thank God that he knocked on my door one day. And I don't mind telling everybody that I know him for myself. And he's the one that's knocking on your door right now, trying to encourage you to have a more fuller relationship with him. Trying to get you to have a more understanding of who he is, the power that he possesses. He created the world. The world was made by him. And he was there knocking. And he was simply saying to the church at Laodicea and to every individual that would hear the word of God, it's me. It's me. The invitation is extended. God has done all that he could. The Bible says that he came down through 42 generations. That he tabernacled on this earth for 33 long years. He went around healing the sick, giving sight to the blind. He calmed the raging sea. He turned water into wine. All power in heaven and earth was in his hand. But he kept on marching. He was on a mission to save you and me. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He was on his way to Calvary for you and for me. For all the good that he did, one day he was arrested by men, betrayed, led from judgment hall to judgment hall. They called him everything but a child of God. They beat him until he was almost unrecognized. The Bible says that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. It's me. It's me. I'm standing, still standing, at the door and knocking. If any man hear my voice, open the door. I will come in and I will sup with him. God desires that all of us would have that personal relationship with him. But you got to know who he is. He told the church at Laodicea, repent of your ways and open the door and I will come in. If you seem that trouble is coming your way constantly, it's just the Lord knocking, trying to get your attention. Remember before the Lord saved me, it seemed like everything was going wrong. Nothing seemed to go right. I kept thinking there was something wrong with me. But it was just the Lord trying to get my attention. Every time something went wrong, every trial that I went through, it was simply the Lord saying, it's me. And behold, I stand at the door and knock. I'm so glad this morning that he kept on knocking. I'm so glad this morning that he's still knocking. He's knocking and again, he's standing outside the church. He's standing outside the door, waiting on you to come in. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Is me. From Genesis to Revelation, is me. I'm still standing, still knocking, still calling, hoping that you will open up the door and let me in. God wants to bless our lives. He wants to usher us into eternal life. He wants to take us away from all of these trials and all of these tribulations and the sicknesses that we go through. He's calling, he's knocking, he's telling us, I'm here, it is me. I'm trying to get your attention. Why don't you open the door and let him in? God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.